Morning, everyone. Welcome to our visitors.
Good morning.
Scripture reading this morning is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower therefore thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious.
And welcome to our visitors. Glad that you could come and share in the time that we have together. Howard had the little mechanical piano player there, and before too long, you may see me on video. So you may have no piano player, no living, alive preacher, but still be living nevertheless down in North Carolina. So I was interested in that August the 8th where it says games and food, because this last Friday night it was more like food and games, because you all enjoyed the food so much. And, you know, either way you look at it, it was a good time, and it was a great time to fellowship with God's people. And so thanks for coming, and thanks for being a part of our service today. So before we begin the message today, let's have a word of prayer as we start. Dear Lord, as we come to you this morning, I thank you for the opportunity of sharing God's word with these folks. I pray, Lord, that whatever part of this message might be used to change a life, strengthen a life, or even draw someone closer to you, might be a time where we can say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. So bless us now in this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So in 1 Peter, starting with verse 22 and then going to chapter 2 and verse 3, kind of an interesting thing, because you have to remember that the Bible wasn't written in chapters and verses. It was written as one long letter, and then, what, about 1,000 years ago or something like that, it was divided up into the chapters and the verses. And so we have a thought that starts in the end of chapter 1 and then goes to the beginning of chapter 2, and that's okay. Because as you know from the scripture reading that Jim gave, that the message is true here. So there were soldiers fighting in the War of 1812, and Andrew Jackson was their leader. And these soldiers were having a difficult time bickering back and forth about situations and so forth. And finally, Andrew Jackson just got tired of hearing their complaining and bickering, and he said, "Gentlemen, the enemy is over there." And sometimes that's the way we are. We fight amongst ourselves. In fact, it's even known that there were times that the 12 disciples disputed among themselves, as it says in the word. And so seemingly, whenever you get a group of people together, and I can start a problem right here by telling you the difference between the Red Sox and the Yankees, but we're not here for that today, so not to get into that controversy. But Bible-believing Christians need to be known for their self-seeking, argumentative, and unloving spirit. And I'm not speaking necessarily of this church. Instead of being loyal and fiercely committed, they pick at each other and put down rather than build up. Now, my wife and I have had years of Christian school experience, and we've had our classes where kids just did not get along with each other. And the idea of edifying or lifting up was one that we had to work on over and over again each year. And sometimes pastors have to do that too, just simply for the fact that we have to stop and think, is what I'm saying edifying to the Lord, or is it tearing down God's work? Now, Peter asked in his letter to pull together and find strength as opposed to weakening and breaking the bonds of Christ. And many of his readers that read 1 Peter at the first time were going through trials, and either they were going to compromise or give up. Now, there are folks that used to sit in this church for years, and they finally decided, rather than go to church here, that they would just give up. Or they compromised and went to another nice, easy listening church where they could feel comfortable and the words would tickle their ears, and that was okay with them. And so as we think about these things, we want to keep the group that God has before us today and those that aren't with us thinking in terms of what can we do to pull together for the cause of Christ. Now, in verse 22, it talks about a message of encouragement. Looking back at verse 22, it says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." And so a message of encouragement like this means move in the same direction. Go in the way that God wants you to go. Go in the direction that will help Ridge Baptist Church honor the Lord. I know you went through a series of lessons not too long ago where you went through the churches of Revelation. All of them had their issues and so forth. And so we addressed those. And, you know, some of these lessons in 1 Peter were addressing issues. Some of them may apply to you. Some of them may not apply to you. So, you know, it's kind of like that spiritual buffet. Pick out the things that apply to you and work with that, if you will. So some of the things we need to think about here, number one is obedience to the truth. In other words, this is God's standard for being a Christian. We want to think in terms of speaking truth with one another. Not that you have to be blatantly honest or blatantly blunt with somebody, but just that idea of speaking the truth in love and going from there. I could almost use one of those. Yeah. I'm not coughing just for the fun. Okay. It's not communion, so don't worry about it. So obedience to the truth is important. Number two, purity of the soul. In other words, getting rid of the things that are coming between you and Christ. And there are so many things, not just between you and Christ, but between brothers and sisters in Christ. And I would almost ask a question today. Is there anybody that is sitting over here that you would have a problem with sitting over here? If somebody just decide, oh, I'm going to come in, I'm going to sit next to you today, are you going to kind of this, you know, not moving, but moving? And so we have to think about those things that, you know, are things that are going to make a difference in the cause of Christ. We shouldn't look at someone as saying, I really have a hard time with that person. And that brings us up to point number three, which is sincere love. To overlook the faults of others with grace and to love without hypocrisy. We've all got our problems. And you know, the people out in the world, if you ask them about Ridge Baptist Church, you know, I don't want to go to church with those hypocrites. Well, come on aboard. We're all hypocrites, and we'll straight straighten things out, if you will. But that's what some people use as an excuse. But don't let that happen to you. Now, as we think about the word love in verse 22, you have it used in two different places. There's the unfeigned love of the brethren, which is that Greek word philos, meaning brotherly love or the love of a friend. Also, in that same verse, you have love being used as the Greek word agape, meaning unconditional love. Unconditional love is that pet you have at home. You know, where it's like, you know, we talked last week about the kids kicking the dog and so forth. Dog still loves the kids. They don't understand what the problem was there. They feed them, they take care of them and all that. Unconditional love. Do we have the same unconditional love that Christ had for us? Because, I mean, you know, he loves us in spite of our sin. And so when we think about these different types of love as it's presented here, we need to think about the love that Christ had for us. We need to support one another. If somebody else in the church the Lord blesses, well, we need to rejoice with those that rejoice. We all need and can provide a refuge of care and encouragement from our heart. Now, I'm thinking, and I don't know how I put this in here in my notes. I was just thinking about it. When I was 5 years old, I had a broken arm. And Lynn's going through something similar with her leg and so forth. And you've all been through something in your life because you've been around the block a few times. I don't know how many, and I'm not going to ask you this morning. But when I was 5 years old, I had a broken arm. I actually had to stay in the hospital for 3 weeks in traction because it was broken at the joint, and it had to be that way until they could put a cast on it. And so when I got my cast on this arm, and I'm a natural right-hander, I had to start compensating by learning how to do things with my left hand. So I'm going to take you back many, many years ago when we used to have things called color forms. You know, they kind of stuck on the thing and you peeled them off and you stuck them onto a board and created a little story and so forth. I had to do that with my left hand. It was not easy. And then we had things called building bricks. Building bricks were the forerunners of Legos. All they were just red bricks that stacked on top of each other, and you could make your brick house or whatever. But it took a lot of work for me to overcome 5 years of right-handedness for the 6 weeks or so of having to learn to do things with my left hand. Was not easy. Lynn's going through the same thing. And we have other folks in our church this morning that are going through struggles like that, where they have to compensate for other things that are going on. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Basically, what it says in verse 23 is selfless love does not come naturally. Now, some of you grew up in a family. I hope you weren't an only child because you missed out. But families take care of brothers and sisters. We love them. We pull for them. We support them. Again, we rejoice with them when they have victories. We weep with them when they have difficult times. And that's kind of what we have to do here at Ridge Baptist Church. We need to function as God's family to support one another, pray for one another, rejoice when somebody has an answer to prayer, but also weep when someone has a loss. Now, there's some folks that have excuses for why they don't have selfless love. For example, they might say, well, these aren't my gifts. Well, maybe that's something you need to pray about. There are others with more experience. Now, I thought about that when I was asked to come and speak. And Moses went through the same thing in Genesis when he gave all the excuses that he had to the Lord about not being able to speak, not knowing what to say, and so forth. But God uses the weak people of the world to do his work. I have my own problems. Well, again, we all have our own problems. The question is, are you going to use God's word to help you overcome them? And then the last excuse people give is, I wish I had time. I remember some years ago, we had a pastor, and our pastor shared this with the members of his pastoral staff. He gave us a grid, 24-hour grid, you know, starting at midnight, going to 1 o'clock, 1 to 2, 2 to 3, all the way down to the end of the day when you got to 11 p.m. to 12 p.m. And what we were supposed to do is fill in what we were going to do with that time. Well, the sleeping part was easy, you know, but after that, what were you doing after that, and so forth. And the scheduling got to the point where, hey, I've got time to do this stuff. You know, a lot of things that we do are just filler. You know, there are actually times when we can pray. There are actually times when we can read God's word if we look at the time that we have and use it effectively for his honor and glory. Now, I have some lists for you. So here we go, Janice. Okay. These are reminders for the care and support of each other in God's family. Okay, number one, we are children of the same Heavenly Father. And again, as it says in verses 22 and 23, we are born into the same family of God, and we need to live like it. You know, there's a song, and I forget the exact wording of it, I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. And so on and so forth. Are you? Are you proud to be part of God's family? Or do you have issues with somebody sitting over here or someone sitting behind you? So we need to live as God's family and support one another and pray for one another. Number two, we take our instruction from the same source. If we look down to verses 24 and 25, it says, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. We've got to think of God's word as powerful, effective, and imperishable. Unfortunately for us, we're just the opposite. We're weak, we're defective, and we're perishable. I got thinking about that, and it's like, well, like the piano player. Piano player's not sitting there on the thing, but Howard brings in the box, we sing the songs, replaceable. We can put up a video of me speaking instead of me standing here, replaceable. There are things that happen in our lives that, you know, a loved one goes to be with the Lord. Are they replaceable? No. And your being here today is not replaceable either. We cannot do what we do without you being here. We need to implant his word in our minds, our hearts, and our lives. We got to think about how we think, how we live, and how we speak affects God's family. Number three, we have struggles in the same, things that would have been disastrous effects on our relationship with others. And we'll speak more of this in a few minutes. Now, in going on to chapter two, we see the word wherefore. And so that's the continuation of the thought that we finished in chapter one. And it talks there about some sins, malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speaking. For a second there, I thought the Lord was going to talk to us about the seven deadly sins. because to a certain extent, these are deadly sins too, because these are the things that people use against us as Christians. These are things that some Christians use against other people. Take, for example, malice. It's a general word for evil. If you had a translation of the Bible, you might indeed see the word evil there. So it talks about malice as being people that are in the world system. For a number of years, I did not work in the world. My wife and I taught in Christian schools, and then we moved to Connecticut and taught there for 7 years, then went up to South Hope, Maine, and taught there for 3 years. And I got to the point where, you know, through a series of twists and turns, I started working for Shop and Save, now known as Hannaford. That was my first experience working in a worldly situation. I don't need to tell you, the language was different, the lifestyle was different, and so forth. And it's not just Hannaford, okay? It's any business out in the world. They do not look in terms of things concerning the Lord. And in fact, sometimes they use the name of the Lord, but in a different way. And so there's malice out there. And some of you that have jobs in the world, you know what I'm talking about. So we have to be careful. The next word is guile, also known as deceit, which is being treacherous or two-faced. And you might say, well, that's kind of like the hypocrisy. Well, that's the next one. Hypocrisy meaning double-minded. Remember when we were studying in James, we talked about a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so these are the things that we as Christians have to watch out for. And so this is another thought here. Envy, the desire to have or achieve a place or position. Why did they get that position? I could have done that. Or why did they get rewarded that way? I'm just as capable of having that reward as they are. And so we envy them. We look at their house, how beautiful it is. Their car, how shiny it looks and how fast it goes. And yet, you got to be content with what the Lord's given you. Slander or evil speakings. This is, as it is, evil speech, rumor, or gossip. I can speak for you for 15, 20 minutes this morning, and yet a word of gossip, or a rumor can probably affect more people than what I'm speaking to you today. Just because it's something that people gravitate to. It's their sin nature. And so these are the five things that are mentioned in verse 2 that we have to be careful of. Now, as we go on to verses 2 and 3, the fourth item, because we talked about, we talked about we're children of the same Heavenly Father. We take our instruction from the same source. We have struggles in the same things. Number 4 is focus our attention on the same objective. Now, Peter grew in Christ's likeness. He encouraged others to follow the same path. Jesus is our hope in hurtful times. The Father of God is the source of that hurt. Now, we may step on some toes this morning, and that's okay, because sometimes you need to wear those hard-toed shoes and so forth, but here we go. Some of you have been hurt by other people in this church. Some of you have been hurt by pastors that used to be in this church. The only thing I can say is, I'm sorry. I apologize for them up front, because there were things that were said and things that were done that should not have happened. If we're going to keep ourselves as a family in Christ, then we have to be upfront, apologize, even though we don't know the mindset of that person, and just move ahead. Now, it says in verse 2 as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And milk is fine. Okay, we have a little granddaughter, Cora Beth. She just turned one on the 3rd of July. Now, Cora Beth isn't going to drink milk her entire life. She's going to eventually get introduced to ricey cereal and something a little more substantial and so forth. And so she's going to grow. Sometimes as Christians, people in their Christian maturity or lack of maturity can only do as much as the milk. That's all they understand. But how are you going to grow if all you'd get is milk? I don't know any of you who will leave here today and say, honey, let's have a gallon of milk for lunch. No, we want something substantial. We want something more. And that's where you, as a born-again Christian, need to grow in God's word. The sincere milk was good when we first became Christians. We had an understanding of God's word. But now we need to move on. We need to grow in God's word. And as we think about it, our church is indeed a mixture of people and personalities. It's kind of like a recipe where you add certain ingredients and it's like, oh, if you add this, it makes it taste that much better. But what about our church? We're all a mixture of different ingredients. We are not saying, oh, well, if that person wasn't here, we'd be doing so much better. Mm-mm. Or if you think of the personalities that we have here, you know, it all adds to the greater part of what God is doing here. Some of you on Friday night were blessed by Bruce teaching how to play cribbage. And so that becomes a good thing. Without Bruce, there is no cribbage. But anyway. And then you take James Jones. If you haven't met James, you're missing an important part of the recipe. because that is part two. And when James is not here, we miss him. And so it is with all of you. You play an important part in what makes Ridge Baptist Church what it is. And so now we come down to the last part, which is kind of reiteration of what we've already talked about, but it kind of sums it up in about 4 points here. So here's some questions for you to think about as we think about unity. Are you treating fellow believers as children of the same Heavenly Father? Here's what you do. Examine your social life. Now, I'm not saying go off Facebook, although I've heard of some people that did. But think about who you include in your group and who's not a part of your group. Think about any disunity that there might be. Is there somebody that needs to be brought into the church family, so to speak, or do we kind of leave them out? Consider any exhibited unloving attitudes or actions. Here again, we've had people and pastors in the past treat people in such a way that they didn't want to go to church anymore. I shared this about 3 or 4 weeks ago as an illustration, and so I'm going to repeat it again today for those of you that didn't hear it. There was a guy, and he came to church, and they were serving communion, okay, which we're going to do in 2 weeks. And so as they were serving communion, he had his little cup, and he dropped it and spilled the contents all over the rug. As he was cleaning up the mess, somebody said, look at that, you've stained the carpeting. What are we going to do now? We're going to have to get a cleaner in here and clean that up. And, just made the guy feel terrible. And then he went home, and I forget what chore he forgot to do for his wife before Sunday dinner, but it was like, how am I going to be able to serve this dinner if you don't do the things that I've asked you to do? And so he just, you know, got chewed on at church, got chewed on at home, and he thought to himself, where can I find some peace? And so as he was going down the road, he found this bar. And so he pulled into the bar, and they served him a drink. And, you know, being the clumsy guy that he is, he spilled his drink. And the bartender said, no problem, let me clean that up for you. Hey, brother, come on over here. We'll give you another drink. And, you know, these guys came over and patted him on the back. And, yeah, you're okay. Well, you know what happened. He stopped going to church and started going to the bar because that's where people could appreciate him the most. And unfortunately, we have folks in Lubeck that have been treated that way. They've been shown the door instead of showing the love of Christ. They've gone down the road to where everybody knows your name when actually everybody in the church should know his name. And so that kind of closes the door on a lot of people in their spiritual life when you ask them about Ridge Baptist Church and they say, oh, I would never go there. Number two, are you actively seeking to implant the seed of God's word in your heart? This is a fix-up job for you. Do you faithfully hear God's word and read God's word? Take that chart out and say, okay, I've got time for this, time for this, time for this. I can make time for God's word here and here and here. And that's what we need to do. Find that time and use it the way God would have us to do it. Also, find God's word to make personal meaning and significance in your life. I know a lot of people, women and men, who have journals. You know that little book with no words in it? It's blank. But then as you read God's word and God gives you a blessing, you write it down. God blessed me with this verse today. Or God blessed me with an answer to prayer. And you look back after a year, or you look back after several years and say, how good was God to me that he would bless me in such a way? Number three, what common struggles affect you in most of your relationships with others? We can go back to that five words we just talked about. Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander. I'm reminded of a common phrase that we used many years ago, and it's still true today. Help my words to be tender and sweet, for tomorrow I may have to eat them. And so it is with us. We have to be careful. Now, as we were, and I have to take a sidebar here, as we were playing Uno Friday night, and it, you know, and I was a victim of this, draw four. Here you go, Jeff, draw four cards. Oh, here's another, draw two. And all the while smiling about it. But I remember playing with kids, and these kids were in public school. And they would play a version of Uno called Cutthroat, where they just love to give another kid a plus four or a plus two or something like that. There again, it's the heart of the person that's playing. Are you playing for fun? Are you playing to get even? Are you playing for some other reason? I'm reminded of Paul when he said, I am the chief of sinners. And Paul, if nobody else, we think of, why is he the chief of sinners? Well, if I compare myself to the life of Paul, maybe I'm the chief of sinners. I need to look at myself the way that God's word shows it and do some things about my relationships. Number four, Christ-like spiritual maturity is our primary ambition. Pray and ask God to conform you to the image of Christ. I'm always reminded, because some of us grew up this way, Mom had this Jell-O mold. They don't do that now, do they, really? But they had that, copper Jell-O mold. They poured all the stuff in there and let it harden, and then they go, and then when they pop the mold off, there it is, a beautiful shimmering Jell-O. And so that's what we have to do. We have to mold ourselves into the image of Christ. We have to put aside our old habits. Some of us need to swallow our pride. And here's something, I know some of you do, but maybe more of you need to do it. Send a note to somebody. Make a phone call. Judy has made, and I don't mean to pick on you, dear, but Judy has made several phone calls to folks in the church and so forth. And the thing that we always get is, I'm so glad you called me today. Because you don't know how the Lord's going to use that phone call. You don't know that the Lord's going to take that note that you sent to them and brighten their day or make them feel like somebody cared. Or maybe you can meet them for coffee. Come on over to my place and we'll have drink some coffee and we'll just have a blessed time and so forth. And these things go a long way towards putting that unity of God's people together. So when we put the parts together, it makes the church and the body of Christ stronger. I'm always reminded of when I was a kid. Again? Yes. When I was growing up, you'd get those model cars, you know, and they all had to have the parts taken apart. And then you got that stinky glue, not to sniff, but to put the pieces together. And before too long, there was some semblance of a car. We as Ridge Baptist Church people need to take the parts that God's given us, put the parts together, and move forward for His honor and glory. I just pray that some part of this message would help you to grow and help our church be stronger in Him. Let's pray.